The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Three puffs of white smoke coming from Birmingham. The league has officially invited the University of Texas in Oklahoma. John Talty is covering that story for AL.com, and we will be joined by him when he gets some confirmation. He's literally outside in 100 degrees waiting to see if the Cardinals of the SEC are going to, when they start burning the parchment. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Scott is in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Paul Feinbaum. Thank you for letting me on.
Well, it is our honor to have you here.
Well, look, I was raised up a son of a preacher, man. I lived all around the country.
What a good song, by the way.
I've lived in Texas, Missouri, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina. I've lived everywhere. And I am totally satisfied with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. And I take issue with people saying, like, the Longhorns are too liberal a college to join the SEC. We need a little blueberry in the tomato soup. We could use that. And good luck to them.
Do we have any liberals in the SEC? Is that permissible?
Well, I feel very liberal on a lot of issues myself.
I am too.
I'm liberal.
I don't
mind anybody else doing it.
Well, I mean, when it comes to being liberal or moderate, I'm very liberal on the SEC winning the national championship every single year.
Yes, I am. I would like a very liberal slice of freedom pie on that deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad to hear it. Yeah, for those who missed the call earlier, we had a call from, I guess it was Texas or somewhere, and the caller was Houston, Texas, yeah, who was unhappy with the University of Texas saying that they were too liberal. I guess we could have gone out and invited the Cal Berkeley into the league and made it worse, couldn't we? Yeah, why not? Who else? I mean, who else would fit that bill? I mean, if you had to, Austin's a pretty liberated city, as best I remember. I mean, you don't go to Austin and really remember what you did there. Let's check out Alan, who is in the liberal bastion of Georgia.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to address a problem that nobody else has so far. Do you remember what happened to Charlie Strong at Texas?
I sure do.
Do you think that's not going to rear its ugly head sooner or later?
Well, there's a lot of things that happened to Charlie. He was hired, I think before he'd even landed, the biggest booster went after him. And, he did a pretty average job of coaching down there. I think he lost to Kansas. But, I guess that's what you're referring to.
Well, I've lived in three different metropolitan areas in Texas, and I've still got friends out there. And from what I've been told, some of Texas players refused to play for Charlie. They actually left the team before they would play for Charlie.
And you're not just talking about on Saturday. You're talking about before the game started.
I'm talking about quit the team.
Right. Yeah, I'm not aware of that. I know Charlie very well, and I've never heard that. But I'll trust your observation.
Well, until you hadn't seen the attitude until you see it in Texas. They've got a – I always called it their state motto, if you ain't from Texas, you ain't crap. What was that?
I thought that's what Alabamians viewed the world.
Well, they may do it, but I know Texans do. I've lived that.
We're talking about a university, and all this political jargon is not going to make any difference. Any moment now, they're about to be voted an invitation to the SEC.
Well, I do know. I'm pretty sure I know that Charlie Strong had problems along the racial line.
Well, Alan, I'm not disputing that, but you know, and while that is unconscionable, it also has happened to other coaches in the past, and yeah, I mean, but he didn't succeed there for a lot of reasons, and by the way, the guy that took his place didn't succeed. So Texas has had bigger issues than isolated problems like that. But thank you for sharing that information with Charlie Strong. I know it's quite germane to what is currently going on. Luke is up next in Raleigh. Luke, thank you. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul, for taking my call. I just have a quick question. North Carolina, I think, is a big sliver of the pie if we're talking about expansion, maybe not for the SEC, but obviously being the ninth largest state in the country, having two major media markets, Raleigh and Charlotte.
Right.
I'm just curious to hear your thoughts about why a UNC or an NC State were not taken in the original expansion. And I know it's kind of tough to consider them in the future with the ACC Network deal. You know, we would have to stay in until, 2036.
Yeah.
I just think North Carolina has a lot of talent. You know, Georgia's come in and taken Todd Gurley and Zamir White. Tennessee, under Butch Jones, actively recruited here. We have a lot of great recruits that leave North Carolina to go play in South Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia because it's the SEC.
Absolutely. Don't forget Chris Leak many years ago left Charlotte to go to the University of Florida, where he took part in a national championship.
Heath Shuler, I know that's an older one, but Heath Shuler
played in he's from West North Carolina. I will say this, and I've only been a resident here for 8 years, so I'm not an expert. But I can't believe I've been here that long. But the point being, I think at one time there was consideration. I remember hearing NC State mentioned briefly, and Duke. And the reason why Chapel Hill has never been under consideration is because I don't think they've ever wanted to be under consideration. They feel like they used to run the ACC, as you well know. But I've always felt it was a natural place to go. And I thought NC State, quite frankly, fit the SEC better than North Carolina, because they have a really a very fervent fan base, and they don't like being in the same spot as UNC. You know that.
I'm an NC State fan, and I hate being in the ACC.
Right.
And I know John Swofford just left, but I hate it because we're run by a bunch of Carolina blue coats.
Exactly. I've always felt like that was – I know I heard NC State mentioned one time.
Yeah. I'm just curious if you think that – the last thing is if you ever think that an NC State would receive an invitation. You know, I know they might not be on the same level as football. We're pretty consistent, but it all comes down to TV and just
dollars. And it's a very important state. You're right. I've always thought they are a bad matchup for and I think it's going to be a little bit different with this new commissioner who comes here from Northwestern. I think he's had some Notre Dame ties as well, but. Yeah, I mean, Swofford wasn't. I mean, it's always been about North Carolina, and you know the strangest thing about the ACC. I don't know the backstory on this, but why in the world is the ACC in Greensboro, North Carolina?
That is just the home for some reason. I guess because we played, right there with the Big Four schools: Wake Forest, Duke, Carolina, NC State. Travel purposes.
I flew in there. I went to Wake Forest for something a couple of years ago, and I flew in Greensboro. And I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I'm not here taking shots at towns, but I'm like going, why is the ACC here?
Great question. I honestly don't know. But
I think Raleigh might be a little close to because you have two schools sitting there, but. I mean, Charlotte to me is a natural place. It's a very progressive, moving town. But, yeah, again, it's a good question, though. Not that I'm trying to run the ACC, although I think I could. Now that the SEC has conquered the world, we're going to just lend our services to other leagues. Let's continue with more phone calls in a moment. We're still waiting word on the presidents from the SEC. We are monitoring that. We have one reporter outside in the heat, and we have a couple of other ones sitting at a bar watching the proceedings. So we should have that story covered pretty closely. We are back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Let's grab some more calls here. And Mark is up next in Tennessee. Mark, thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I've had the pleasure of speaking with you a couple of times. First of all, let me say I'm an Ole Miss alum living in Knoxville. To quote from, I think, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I feel like a pilgrim in an unholy land. Let me ask you, contracts with schools in the SEC go out 5 and 10 years. A lot of those contracts are with non-division schools. They make money off of them. If the expansion happens and those schools get bumped, do they still get paid their contract money, or what happens?
Yeah, I mean, there are always clauses in contracts. They're out clauses, and I think it really depends. Sometimes, if you cancel a contract before a certain date, you may only have to pay 10% or 20%. If you have a game in 2032, it's probably not going to be a very stiff penalty. So I think it depends.
Let's say UT is scheduled to play UT Chattanooga.
Okay.
In 4 years from now, which might be when OU and Texas come in, and UT Chattanooga is expecting, I don't know, let's say $200,000 for the game, or $50,000.
Yeah. By the way, it would probably be more. It would probably be closer to $1 million right now, maybe more.
Somebody's got to eat that cost. Because UT Chattanooga is still going to want the money because they committed to play.
Well, either you can do a couple of things. You can just pay it off, or help them find another opponent, or maybe agree to play them at some other point. I mean, there are a lot of ways to get around it. Most of the time, it is collegial. Sometimes it's obviously not. But it really comes down to what is in the contract. And contracts usually favor the bigger party of the two. I'm not a contract lawyer, but I happened to read a few contracts recently. I mean, they're mind-boggling if you ever read the fine print.
All right. Well, let me say one other thing. I am looking forward to October 16th when Ole Miss comes in there and Tennessee gets a lesson.
That will be quite
thank
a game.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for calling. Jack is up next in Pensacola. Hey, Jack, good afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Over the last two days, trying to get in on your program. I really appreciate it. I guess everybody in the country is trying to get on the Paul Feinbaum show.
Well, I'm glad you made
it. Been so stacked up. I wanted to say something. As you know, I'm a Texas Longhorn guy. I think this is yet another colossal mistake on the part of the University of Texas, and not necessarily so much from a financial point of view, but what Texas is really after. Texas is not really after the money. Texas got all the money it needs. Texas wants in on that secret sauce that's going on in the SEC. They want to figure out why they can't win big despite all the talent, all the resources that they have. And, Paul, I've been thinking about this for 40 years, and finally it's come clear to me what Texas should have done and should do. And I want your opinion on this. I think Texas would have been the perfect school, except for Notre Dame, that Texas would have been the perfect school to be totally independent. And then what they could have done is they could stack their schedule with Alabama and Notre Dame and Clemson and Ohio State. And, you know, they could play nothing but powerhouse teams, make tons of money. They'd get great recruits because they'd be playing the big dogs every weekend, and they would be independent. And that would allow Texas to maintain what they think of themselves, which is that they are better than the rest of college football, and therefore they're independent. And I think they are making a mistake trying to dip into the South. I think they're going to get spanked in the Southeast Conference, and it's going to be a humiliating experience for them for quite a while until they – because they're trying to figure out, they're still trying to figure out why they can't win big. And the reason is, well, what they need is they need to go against the whole nation, because that's what's going to galvanize all that talent and all those resources and all that ego that's in Texas. And as you know, Texans look at the United States as an appendage. Texans see the United States. The average Texan would easily secede from the Union if they were put to a test. Texans believe that Texas is its own country anyway. And so I think it's a big mistake.
Hey, Jack, I know it's kind of late in the game. I'm from Tennessee. Has Texas ever thanked Tennessee for saving them?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, I grew up with Davy Crockett, you know, one of the heroes. I mean, I just wondered. I've been to the Alamo, and I never saw any thank you notes there. I don't see anybody come out and say, "Hey, thank you, man. I know you're from Tennessee. We appreciate you giving us." Because maybe Texas would have been better as its own entity. It kind of is anyway.
I think so. I think Texas is the ideal program to be an independent, because everybody wants to play Texas. You heard Jackie Sherrill the other day say he played Texas in a parking lot.
Sure.
And every coach in the country feels everybody would play. Alabama would play Texas in a heartbeat. Notre Dame play Texas in a heartbeat. They could play Oklahoma. They could play A&M. They could play anybody they want to play, and their revenues would be through the roof, and they would get great, great, great players.
Well, Jack, I'm so impressed, though, by the thing that a lot of people have learned this week, and I realize a lot of people for the first time are watching or listening. But the number of schools that hate Texas is really admirable. It's hard. I mean, everybody has a rival. Everyone's Texas's rival. That is so unique. I mean, I admire that. That's good. That's why I'm personally, selfishly happy that they're coming in here. John is up next. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with you on Texas coming in. I think even the middle tier of the SEC, you know, both, I think Texas is going to have a problem playing those teams as well. And I think all the SEC is going to enjoy Texas coming in so they can put a pounding on them, and, which I think will happen. And that last caller had a bunch of good points that I totally agree with. But I was listening to Barrett Salee earlier, who you had on the show several times.
Right.
He thinks that once Oklahoma and Texas do come into the SEC, that there no longer will be a Western or an Eastern division, and it'll just be every team in the SEC play all. And what's your opinion on that, Paul?
Right now, I think the divisions could be less likely than likely, because I think it is fairly complicated with eight schools in the division. I think the pod setup is gaining traction. I'm really eager to hear from the commissioner, whether that's tomorrow or soon, if they've gone down that road yet. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. A lot happening. We're still waiting. I know people are hanging by going, okay, well, what's the deal? Well, we haven't heard yet. We are moderately plugged in here to what is going on, and we hope that we will get some word the second that the presidents have concluded their vote. We are back with more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, we welcome our radio audience back to the television side, and during the break, the news has come down. Let me just repeat for everyone who was away during the break, the confirmation that the SEC has extended a membership invitation to both the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas. It's a simple statement. It, as of this moment, has the plan for it to go into effect in 2025. I will simply say this is in keeping with the agreement that the two universities have with the Big 12. Everyone knows what happened yesterday. We talked about the war of words since then. So you can be assured that no one is going to go off script at this point in time. What does it mean? It doesn't mean a whole lot other than there will be a great deal of conversation. So we'll get some reaction to this in a moment, but it is official from the SEC side. Tomorrow morning, the University of Texas and Oklahoma are expected to accept the invitation, and it will be a day of statements and news conferences and conversation.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We will talk to John Talty to get his reaction. He's been covering this story for AL.com in Birmingham. Let's go to Demetrius right now in Dallas. So, Demetrius, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Paul. First-time caller. Big news today. Texas and Oklahoma getting an opportunity to come and stomp with the big dogs. And so I'm really excited. I'm not a Texas fan. I grew up in Arkansas, so I'm an Arkansas Razorback. And so I am excited to have Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC. And the reason being is I really see this as an opportunity for the Hogs to get back to the level when I was a kid with some consistency, with some wins. So I think this gives them, Missouri, a opportunity to capture more of these recruits coming out of Texas, I really feel sorry for the rest of the teams that are in the remaining teams in the Big 12. I really see this as something that's really going to hurt them down the road. But I'm excited
to
have Demetrius,
I'm really glad you're excited. Hey, thank you so much. Let me add a few more comments to the official announcement, which has just broken out of Birmingham, Alabama. According to the official release from the conference, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey communicated the invitations to the respective presidents following today's video conference meeting of the conference presidents and chancellors. The meeting was convened, of course, after the two universities submitted separate requests for membership invitation on Tuesday of this week. I'm quoting the commissioner right now, Commissioner Sankey, saying today's unanimous vote is both a testament to the SEC's longstanding spirit of unity and mutual cooperation, as well as recognition of the outstanding legacies of academic and athletic excellence established by the universities of Oklahoma and Texas. I greatly appreciate the collective efforts of our presidents and chancellors in considering and acting upon each school's membership interest. The official statement from the SEC goes on to say today's actions are in accordance with SEC Bylaw 3.1.2, which authorizes the chief executive officers of the conference to extend invitations for membership if at least three-fourths of the 14 member institutions agree. And we understand it was unanimous, so all the conversation from last week has calmed down, and the university's presidents and chancellors have unanimously agreed to invite Texas and Oklahoma. Let's continue with more phone calls here, and Lee is in New York. Lee, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. One thing I was curious about, I'm a big Florida Gator fan. I've called this show before. But the one thing I was wondering is, you had a caller mention yesterday, and I know it's true, that Texas makes more money than any other college athletic program in the nation. And of course, you want teams that are going to move the needle with the almighty dollar. But with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, what percentage are they thinking that that's going to help the SEC revenue? I know that usually SEC revenue is around $720, $730 million a year. The Big Ten is usually around $780. I mean, is this going to catapult the SEC past the Big Ten, do you think?
Yes. A couple of reasons for that. I mean, I've seen some estimates. That's all we're talking about. But the value of these two is significant. And one thing about those comparisons between the Big Ten in the SEC, we're talking about old numbers. The SEC contract with CBS paid $50 million a year. The reports, and again, I'm not privy to it, but I'm just quoting reports in reputable publications, have that number now on an annual basis for the 330 game north of $300 million. So that's not difficult to do the math. I saw an estimate yesterday that had the SEC, quite frankly, were projections valued more than the NCAA, period. So this is a significant moment. Hey, thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. So again, making it official, the vote, of course, being unanimous. John Talty has been covering this story so well from last week. He was on our set last Wednesday night as the story was breaking. John joins us now. John, thank you very much. We know it's official. Give us some backstory on where we are right now and what happens next.
Yeah, so they voted today to officially extend the invitations to Texas and Oklahoma. No surprise, as you would have could have guessed, it was a unanimous 14-0 vote, even with some of the earlier theatrics, I guess you could say, from Texas A&M. The next step here is for Texas and Oklahoma to officially accept those. That's expected to happen tomorrow morning when both those schools have already scheduled 9 a.m. Central Time meetings with their trustees. So once that happens, I think the big question that I think everyone will have is just when do these schools officially join the SEC based on the release today, and also based on the official ask to be invited. That date as of right now is July 2025. I would say pretty much everyone in the industry expects Texas and Oklahoma to try to make that move earlier than that. But as you know, I think the Big 12 has made clear in the last few days, you know, that they're going to do everything they can to make sure that Texas and Oklahoma stay as long as they can, and are, as of right now, contractually obligated to do so. So that's, I think, the big thing that everybody's going to be wondering going forward. But I think as you were kind of standing inside, jumped on, you know, a huge moment for the SEC, a huge moment for college football. And I think there's going to be a lot of things that could happen down the line because of this move.
John, let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday and how it leads into what is going on right now. You were certainly watching the volleys going back and forth. Bob Bowlsby has a good reputation. He's not known as someone who would go this far off script. Just what have you heard today in relation to what he said yesterday? And of course, ESPN's Burke Magnus has responded, but still extraordinary exchange of accusations by someone who sits at the same table as Greg Sankey and all the other leaders of intercollegiate athletics, as well as a partner of ESPN.
It's unprecedented, Paul. I think that's really the only way to describe it, you know, to see someone like Bob Bowlsby go after, you know, a direct partner in ESPN, its TV partner, one of its TV partners, the other being Fox, of course. I mean, I think it sent shockwaves through the industry yesterday. And I think really, you know, it shows how desperate a situation it is right now for the Big 12 to basically just absolutely blow towards the relationship with ESPN. You know, I'm sure, you know, some of the people who cut your check, Paul, you know, they might be willing to forgive certain things, but I'm positive they won't forget. And I think when you take a kind of step back, and I've been talking to some different people about this in the last day or so, you know, like you said, you know, Bowlsby's a very well-respected college athletics person. He's been in this game for a long time. You know, he's 69 years old. And think about it, he's had a great career. You know, I'm sure he does not want the last thing he does to be basically the captain of the Titanic if the Big 12 does dissolve the way some expect it to be. So I think he's doing everything he can to try to save it for as long as he can. Because if you think about it this way, Paul, you know, going all in against ESPN when you have a contract TV rights deal expiring in a few years, in which in theory you would want ESPN to bid on that, I think shows that this is not necessarily a long-term strategy for Bob Bowlsby. I think it's a short-term, let's do everything we can to try to keep it together and make sure nobody else poaches one of our valuable teams, even though, of course, now the two most valuable are on the way out. But I think he's doing everything he can to survive for as long as he can, and I'm sure hopefully we'll eventually want to retire and, you know, pass on that mess to somebody else.
John Talley with us as the breaking news continues to be disseminated and digested by the college football world. John, let's talk about the dates, because in the official announcement, it's 2025. You and I know many, many people who I'm sure are raising their eyebrows on that, but that's what the league has to do. Lawyers are telling them that, especially with the volley going back and forth. But how does the University of Texas and Oklahoma get out of there earlier, and how soon could it happen?
Well, I mean, the easiest answer to that question, Paul, is money. You know, if they want to leave early, they can pay, I think it's combined somewhere from $150 to $160 million to get out. And so, you know, we hear all these stories about, you know, Texas rich, right, Paul? And so we can see, you know, what the lengths, I guess, of that, or the limits of Texas rich are if they decide to just stroke a check for that much money to leave early. So I think, you know, certainly we're about to be in August now. It's not happening this season. That's obvious. I think the absolute earliest is 2022. I think, you know, the preference would probably be in somewhere in that 2022 to 2023 range. Certainly, you know, if we take a step back, and not to, you know, get too awkward here, given the platform that I'm on, you know, you would think that ESPN would certainly like to have Texas and Oklahoma in the mix for when their deal with the SEC kicks in. That's 2024, in which they get that very valuable CBS Game of the Week package and move it all over under the ESPN umbrella, ABC umbrella too. So I think, you know, I don't think anybody really wants outside of the Big 12 and Bob Bowlsby, I don't think anybody wants Texas and Oklahoma to have to stay until 2025. It's just going to depend on, A, you know, what their lawyers are able to do in terms of, you know, maybe testing the legal limits of that grant of rights contract. And ultimately, if they're not able to get out that way, they can just stroke a massive check and, you know, plan to make plenty of money in the SEC once they get over there.
There are a bunch of things hanging in the balance, John, before you go. You have the CBS contract, which I know you've reported on. Many thought would have been unwound, but now maybe we know why it's still hanging there. You have the CFP that, you know, looked like 2 years from now, and now maybe doesn't. And now you have this. And the final thing I'll say before I want to hear your answers, the same parties are involved in all of them.
They are, and it's going to make for some awkward dinner parties going forward, I would think, Paul. You know, I was talking to somebody about that the other day. Just, you know, Greg Sankey has to work closely with a lot of these people, some of which he has absolutely upset in the last week once it became public that the SEC was looking to add Texas and Oklahoma. So it's going to be potentially a pretty awkward next couple of years, I would think, and I think the sense that you get, and I know that people have reported on this, there's definitely some serious mistrust, I would say, within college athletics right now. Anytime there's a move of this magnitude that essentially no one knew about before it came out, I think it leads to a lot of people trying to understand how it could have happened and, you know, what was the SEC doing potentially behind the scenes while also advocating for things like a 12-team playoff and other things like that. So there's going to be some things that are going to have to be unwound, and there's going to probably have to be some relationships that either take a lot of work to rebuild or maybe are just kind of permanently tarnished just based on what's happened here. But I can probably safely say the SEC is probably not too concerned about that, given I would say it was all worth it at Texas and Oklahoma.
John, finally, before you go, you're plugged in around college athletics, and you know everyone keeps expecting another aftershock. You know, someone else making a move here. You know, some people even think the SEC may not be done. What's the next big move that you look into your crystal ball and see happening?
Well, if we're talking about, you know, a massive move, you know, I think it dropped while you've been on air here, Paul, but I would direct people to read a interview that outgoing Florida State president John Thrasher gave, and which he, you know, told the paper down in Florida, Tallahassee Democrat, that essentially, you know, we like being in the ACC, but we're going to look around. You know, I think if Florida State would potentially be on the move, that would be a pretty big one. And, you know, like we talked on your show earlier this week, you know, there's some pretty expensive grant of rights agreements that all ACC schools have to follow, but, you know, I think Texas and Oklahoma is going to be a trial run for, you know, lawyers and other people to see just how enforceable those things are. So I think Florida State would be certainly an interesting one to watch going forward. I'm sure, you know, you've seen, and some of your viewers, I'm sure, have seen, you know, the American looking to possibly poach Big 12 schools. I think that would be interesting if that were to happen. I don't know if that's the big move that you're kind of hinting on there, but I think that, you know, like I said earlier this week, you know, with a move of this magnitude, it's not going to be the end. There will be more moves. And so you might see it slow down a little bit as everybody figures out what's the move that we want to make in reaction to this. But there will have to be more. And, you know, it's going to be very exciting to see how that all plays out.
John Talty joining us with the breaking news that it is now official. John, many, many thanks. Great to have you on. We'll continue this conversation in a moment as we head to the break. We will wait till tomorrow morning and see what happens with Oklahoma and Texas. We know what's going to happen, and then it will become official. But it is official, at least as of this moment. The SEC presidents have unanimously voted to invite Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. And this, according to Commissioner Sankey, today's unanimous vote is both a testament to the SEC's long-standing spirit of unity and mutual cooperation, as well as a recognition of the outstanding legacies of academic and athletic excellence. Established by the Universities of Oklahoma and Texas, I greatly appreciate the collective efforts of our presidents and chancellors in considering and acting upon each school's membership interest. So there you go. The commissioner of the SEC making it official. And I realize you know, some of you may have been with us, but it is now official. Story broke exactly 25 minutes ago, and we will continue to get your reaction tomorrow. There'll be quite a bit of coverage beginning in the morning and throughout the afternoon until early evening of what's happening out at, in Norman and Austin, and we'll get reaction from everyone and you as well. We are coming right back with the final hour right here.